Youth, please to be dismissed to the Mazdens. They're back there giving me a dirty look. Just kidding. Our youth go and meet and have their own Bible study on the second and fourth Sunday. We appreciate all that the Mazdens are doing and the youth that are coming. And I've really been praying over this last season that there would just be a move of God through our youth. Amen. So join me in that prayer. All right, don't go to sleep on me. Bring it. Yeah, I want to invite you. I know if the Mavs don't win tonight, Nancy is worried that there's not going to be anybody. She's going to be teaching on prayer this Tuesday night. This past Tuesday night, there was about 12 of us here. I appreciate the hardcore ones because everybody's wanting to stay home and watch the Mavs. I want to invite you to use that little button that says record on your DVR, whatever. And that way you just leave your phone off, your anything that could communicate to what the score is by halftime. And with all the commercials, I guarantee you, you'll catch up with the game before it's even over. Okay? So I invite you to come because I don't know if they'll win tonight, but I sure hope they do. And I will admit this, at first in that revival, I'm going to be out of town this week. I was scheduled to preach on Tuesday night. I got to be honest with you. I'm glad that they moved me to Wednesday night now, because if the Mavs are playing, I don't figure anybody's going to show up at that church in Hereford. But and I would invite and encourage you to pray for me as I'm going back to the church that I went to all the way until I was in high school when I strayed away from the Lord. And they've invited me to come and be part of a revival there. And there's some things that I'm praying for my own life, but praying for a real deposit there in a little town of Hereford, Texas, that needs a revival. So I invite you to please pray for me, and I'll be praying for you guys and praying that the Mavs win tonight so this place will be packed on Tuesday night for Miss Nancy. But the reason Tuesday night is so important, I believe every church is given a DNA of God. Not every house has everything that it needs. Like Gateway has something of the Lord, Sojourn does, Bentree, Prestonwood, and I bless all those life-giving churches. We have seven pillars that I believe will be a mark of discipleship. And these pillars, and I hope that you know them, and I hope that you're praying and asking the Lord to get you ready to live by them. The pillars are of prayer, the Word, serving, heirs, knowing that you're sons and daughters of the Lord, honor, evangelism, and team. The reason I love the different worship teams, because we might not have heard that song today if Charlie's not the worship leader for this Sunday. Because Celia may have not heard that song, or Lori may have not heard that song, or other worship leaders. And that's the reason I think team is so important. There's always usually a different person ministering, different people preaching. Next week, Wendy Kay is going to preach, because I'm telling you, what she does on going treasure hunting, on evangelism and being led by the Holy Spirit is amazing. I encourage you to come next Sunday. I'm going to have a woman preach on Father's Day. It's going to be a great treat. Say, Jason's excited about you preaching. So right now you just scared 5 years out of Devin's life at that scream. But yeah, she's turning around going, what? So anyway. So I invite you to come for Tuesday night and for the different times to hear those giftings and treasures within every one of us. We all have different treasures, and you're going to be blessed with Wendy Kay sharing next week. But also next Friday, the third Friday of every month, we dedicate that time to be a Friday night of worship and intercession. If you look at the landscape of our nation, do you think that our nation might need revival? Can I invite you to put your date on hold that Friday night or whatever you do on that third Friday night and come and join us as we pray and intercede for our nation to have revival? I promise you, it doesn't matter if you think Mitt Romney needs to be the next president or whoever you think needs to be elected in 2012. What we need is for God to take his rightful place back into our nation. And it's time that the bride of Christ starts inviting him to do that. Amen? All right, so those are the key, and Jeff will hit on the announcements even more. Also, we're doing our offering during the worship, where that can be the song, with the ministry, through preaching, so please come and give it. If you haven't, that's another reason I like that song, because that's when everybody started coming and giving the offering. I said, Charlie, keep going. Little humor there, little humor. Bridget just shakes her head and goes, oh, Jesus, help us. I knew it. I could discern that very well. But Kim, it's Kim, right? I feel like the Lord gave me a word for you this morning as I was watching you. There, you used to have some deep wells of a prophetic anointing on your life. And I just saw just the sharp-edged tongue coming out of your mouth that it talks about of Jesus in Revelations. And you're getting ready. I think you and your entire household, your husband and your children, getting ready for a visitation of the Spirit of God. That there's going to be an awakening happen to your husband. I feel like there's something that has to be awakened in this man of God. And there's been a season that he started awakening. But there's getting ready to be an outpouring of the love of the Father that would capture his heart. That would literally call him into his destiny. And in that, you're going to gain this prophetic fire that you once had. For you feel like it's had to subside in this last season. If I could be so bold, this season's been for like a decade or more. But God also showed me that there's an anointing on you like Beth Moore, that God has given you the creativity to teach and write. And in this season, I really believe you're going to start writing things that are going to move people's heart. And there's going to be such a creative edge in the realm of the prophetic coming to your life. So I encourage you, woman of God, to get ready for an awakening of God to come to you and your household. Amen? All right. That's the reason the church, it's the reason the devil fights to not have prophecy in the church. Because prophecy can bring us out of a pit that we're in. And literally call us into our destiny. It even says in 1 Thessalonians to do not despise prophecies. But most churches despise prophecy. And I think it's one of the things that is grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit in our nation. Amen? All right, this is what I want to talk about today. Is the Holy Spirit. Really for this season, maybe the entire summer, but at least 2 weeks... When I preach, I want to talk about that this is the season of where the possible invade the impossible. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 1:32. I'm going to say the title again. I hate long titles, but this is the best I could do. For this, it is the season of the possible invading the impossible. And this is how long I believe we've been in this season. We've been in this season for 2,000 years. But yet we keep standing around and we keep praying for more and we keep waiting for God. And God's gone, I've already put my spirit upon you. I've already put my truth in you. And now go and be and release my kingdom on the face of the earth. And I really believe that the season started happening when John the Baptist was on the verge of being born, which was going to be the end of the law, if you will. And the season of grace was getting ready to be birthed. For an angel shows up within a few months apart in Luke 1, I encourage you to read it, where the angel shows up and speaks to Zacharias about that, how John the Baptist was going to be ready to be born and everything of that nature, and how him and his wife had been barren for all these years. Angel of the Lord showed up while he was burning incense and was being the priest at that time in that season of Israel, and tells him that, hey, it's the time and season where your wife is going to conceive. When we live under the law, unbelief is just released. I want to say it again. The law we need, it is even a tutor. But what's it a tutor to? To grace. Because it shows us that we cannot fulfill the law. And so when the angel shows up to this brother in the time of burning incense, he doubts that God can do it. He says, oh man, let me tell you, let me give you my heritage. Many years we prayed that prayer, and now you need to know my wife is old. That's not a good thing. And number one, if an angel's talking to me, I hope that I would be more receptive to what he's talking to me about. But you see, when you grow for so long of waiting, you get spiritually deaf in your heart. You get spiritually deaf in your spiritual ears and spiritually blind in your eyesight. I think it's very key that the angel did not want him leaving that place, being able to speak all the unbelief. Some of you need to get silent in your season of waiting because you're spewing a bunch of unbelief. What happened in that story was that the angel said, because you didn't believe, I just left the presence of the living God but yet you doubt. And because you doubted, you will not speak for 9 months. Some of you need to quit speaking unbelief into your mountain that seems to be a huge obstacle. You need to quit writing it on Facebook. You need to quit writing it in your journal. You need to quit communicating unbelief. I think the Church of America is layered in unbelief. About 3 months later or so, the angel shows up again to Mary, little 14-year-old, if you will, bebopping teenage girl. She's a virgin. She's tried to live a consecrated life. And the angel starts talking to her in this way. Let's pick it up in 1:32. And this was the season that the possibilities of God could invade the impossibilities that surround us. Verse 32, I said, right? Yes. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over all of Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. No wonder his love endures forever, because his kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? For I'm a virgin. A few verses before that, it was said that she would conceive and give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. So she's giving him some information also, just like Zacharias did. Zacharias was saying, we've prayed years ago, and now my wife's old. Mary says, but I'm a virgin. How can this be? The angel goes on to say this. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. Here's the key, and this is the season we stepped into 2,000 years ago. For nothing will be impossible with God. I want to say it again. For nothing is impossible for with God. Here's the difference of what Zacharias was saying and doing and needed to be quiet to quit speaking unbelief. Mary steps up to the plate and responds, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Let's pray. If you've been speaking unbelief, I encourage you to close your eyes. Don't even look at me. If you've been speaking unbelief about your situation, I want you to repent from your heart. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Hebrews says unbelief is sin. Unbelief, it says in Hebrews, hardens our heart. Lord, we do just ask that you would clean out the pipes in each and every one of our lives, Lord. That we would believe in your greatness. For you truly are the God of the Most High. You're the God that invades every realm of the impossibility and the impossible situations we face. So, Holy Spirit, give faith and hope today, for your love endures forever. Your kingdom is forever. And we ask these things in your name, King Jesus. Amen. Many of us are consumed with seeing the impossible in our lives. For we've waited for years, we've waited for generations. Some of us have generational curses of sickness, and that impossible situation tries to echo from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And it says that Jesus came and he died on the cross. He shed his blood. He allowed his body to be beaten so that generational curses could be destroyed. But yet the enemy tries to echo with everything of his might and power to tell us that our marriage is going to end up like our grandparents and our parents. That the sickness that the grandparents had, the barrenness that your parents and your grandparents have, is going to continue to be your spiritual address. But there has to come a place that we rise up and we say, no, it stops with my generation. That we truly start believing that what the Word of God says is true, and it truly is. All of God's promises are yes and amen. We truly rise up and all of the consumption that's going on in our thought life and in our hearts and in the very way that we speak, quit speaking life to the impossible situation that we've been in for years. One of the cool things that let me say this one last thing about impossibilities. About 5 years ago at Sojourn Church, Pastor Terry and Susan couldn't be there. It's because Susan's mom had just been diagnosed with cancer. And the C word, the church just has no faith for. And as I shared why Pastor Terry and Susan was not there that morning, that Susan's mom had been diagnosed with cancer, literally in the entire worship center of Sojourn, everybody gasped like, in other words, it's over. And some of us are gasping, maybe not over cancer. It could be over separation. It could be about our finances. It could be about our marriage. It could be about children issues. It could be about many, many things. It was such a hard, loud gasp in the worship center at Sojourn that it's easy for me to notice it. And it's a church. How can this be? For were we not created to take the possibilities of God's kingdom into the impossible realms of society? But you see, a lot of us have a limp because we've had a loved one die of cancer. We carry a limp because of the situation in our marriages, and we think back to the situation of our parents and our grandparents or whatever having a divorce. Church, it's time today that we get healed up of those limps. And I know some of your limps are very, very recent. But there has to be a generation that happened just like it did in the days of Joshua. For me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord in every season of life. We have to be a people that we come before the Lord every day and allow Him to heal our hearts, our emotions, and that limp of pain that we walk with of losing a loved one. This past week, I celebrated 27 years of my dad dying at the age of 50, a very young age. But I will not be defined in my unbelief because of him dying at a young age. And some of us are being defined to think that the impossibles cannot be touched because of what we've walked through and experienced. There has to be something in us every day that causes us to rise up and encounter the living God, that the possibilities of him become more real than the impossible situation that you may have experienced 27 years ago. You don't think I haven't been lonely to not have my dad there through all three of my kids being born? Because none of them had been born. But I will not be defined to dwell and think about what I missed, but the blessing I have of what I have and what I got. So many of us allow the enemy to get us to focus on that limp of what we lost instead of the blessing of what I've gained. Again, I miss my dad. He truly was my closest friend. But I will not allow the enemy to define my history, walking on the face of the earth and not being used to invade the impossible situations going on in society. We all need to really let this sink in, because I believe it's what's causing the church to be paralyzed in power and unbelief. I will not allow the enemy to lie and deceive me to look at situations and only see impossible situations. The reason I love starting a new church is this. Some of you wouldn't be being pushed out of the boat if we wouldn't have. I think of Bridget about 3 weeks ago when I felt like she was supposed to kick off the beginning of the service in prayer. She goes, I don't want to do that. Why? Because of fear and unbelief is so much of the language, and we see it as an impossible situation. Now, I want you to hear everything that I'm wanting to share today as the pastor. If we can't do it in here, we'll never do it out there. And I believe the Church of America has so been a one-man Lone Ranger deal that doesn't help people step out of the boat. And that's the reason most Christians of America are paralyzed outside the four walls of the church. And I know some of you get irritated with me, but that's okay. I got very thick skin. So I wouldn't say take no for an answer. And she set the tempo and rhythm of heaven in that day service that I even told her 3 weeks ago, I thought it's the best service we had had because she stepped out of her boat of seeing it as an impossible deal of standing up before you and touching the heart of God. She prayed his heart into the service. I look at Robert Salgado because of something that I said one time. So it's good to know to get feedback every now and then that at least one person's listening to me. Just a little funny there. More people could have laughed there. Man, my jokes must be really bad. It's bad when I have to make fun of my joke to get more laughter. So, but he heard, loved what I said, and he started, because I talked about what are you doing in your neighborhood to bring forth the kingdom of God. And he has started a Bible study in his apartment complex once a month on a Saturday. Is that correct? Twice? Once? I know it's at least once. He's doing Rick Warren's Driven Purpose Life. Purpose-driven life. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to have edit going on as you speak. Wrong. But I love that. Because all of a sudden, why has he got that boldness out there? Because he's getting an opportunity to sing on the worship team. He's getting an opportunity to exhort from the mic. And when you do it here, and that's the reason we prophesy. I know we're changing up church service, and I believe God wants to change it more. Because when you do it here, you'll do it out there. Robert's been in church for years. Never was doing that. And so when I push you or other leaders in this house push you, it's because Daddy wants to use you out there even more and more. I look at Joyce and the last thing she wanted to do was share about Mardi Gras, but when she shared about Mardi Gras, it touched the heart of God, and it touched many of us where we wept. And when she went to Mardi Gras in New Orleans this past March, she ministered to a young man, for those who weren't here, who was dealing with suicidal tendencies on the streets of New Orleans because his life was full of impossible situations. But because she had to be put into that situation to bring the possibility of God into a situation, she gets back home and finds out her own daughter in the Oregon area is wanting to commit suicide also. But because she had been pushed out of the boat to deal with that there, because she said on that Sunday, if I wouldn't have done that, I'd have never been bold enough to speak life into my daughter's situation. Some of us need to shake off the unbelief and impossible situations and really get in the game at a whole nother realm. I look at Rebecca over here when I asked her to pray a couple of weeks ago and she told somebody else to pray before her and then she prayed and it was like, wow, this girl's got some preach on her. Remember that? I even made that comment. The fire of God came upon her and now she's playing the keyboard. I'm pointing out different ones of us because it's time that the church, we get jolted out of the boat. We're like the 12 disciples when Jesus is walking on the water and he's wanting to bring heaven to earth. He's bebopping and changing and messing up all of the physics laws and all of that. Walking on water and only one. And they all scream with fear. Don't you think it's time that the church quits screaming with fear of the impossible situations? And shouldn't there be some faith rise up in us like Peter did say this? Say, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come and I'm coming. That's what's going on in this first year of Hope Fellowship being launched out. It is the Lord, and we need to start saying, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. I've already told you it's him, and he's telling all of us to come. I think of Nancy Tuck. She scares me to death sometimes, the way she goes up at La Sombra at dark by herself. I say, Nancy, I'm okay. I'm fine. And she's going up there and touching people left and right, making meals, doing Bible studies, and loving. Loving. Misty Edwards is doing sets right now that she does this little open prophetic deal on IHOP. I can't encourage you enough to listen. I basically just listen to her sets over and over. But she says, when you stand before the Lord, he's going to ask you one thing. Did you learn how to love? Did you learn how to love? One of the good things about being pushed out of our boats right now, church, we're being taught to love. The very impossible situation you may find yourself in right now, you're being taught to love. I could go on and on. I think of Jess Boyd when we did our outreach at the Christmas time. And I remember she looked at Wendy Kay and Andrew and myself. And she had prophesied the first person she had ever prophesied over. And we were standing there in the parking lot at La Sombra at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Police pulling in because they had had a couple of situations going on there at 10 o'clock at night. And Jess was so beaming with joy. She said, I didn't think I could do it. I prophesied over the first person, spoke life into. Being forced out, get out of the boat, and bring the possibilities of God into impossible situations. I could go on and on to Bridget, my wife, going down to Harry Hines Boulevard over and over. And I'm going, babe, just be careful. Have you prayed? Constantly causing me to step out of my boat to make sure that when you guys are going out on some of these outreaches that you're okay. And God going, it's time to take me to the hurting people. Fixing to curse this fly up here. Possibility. The impossible demon. Jesus just didn't come to preach and teach. Isn't it amazing that he came and he deposited the Spirit of God upon the 12 and then the 70? Again, and I've been guilty for 20 years as a pastor. Anybody who has a laser, feel free to just take a shot at it. If you wing me, don't worry about it. Just kidding. I'm fixing to kill you. Don't anybody call PETA. He came and he told his guys one day, and this is some of the American language we need to get out of our mind and heart. I was told years ago to come down and say a prayer and your whole life's going to be good and easy. Anybody else come down and fall for that lie? Right? Did you get that, the altar call? You're not going to get that altar call here. Just come down, say this sweet prayer, and oh, Jesus is going to be by. You're going to have such a sweet time. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Now, does that sound like a great plan? Sheep and wolves don't go along, and wolves win every battle. Church, I'm going to tell you right now, some people are going to reject you and be mad at you that you even want to tell them about Jesus. Can we get to the point that they did in Acts 5 when those group of people were beaten for their faith and testimony of Jesus? And isn't it amazing their response and my response is different? They knew Jesus had told them, I'm sending you out among wolves. So their response was when they were beaten for their faith, they left laughing. Man, I think I got hit harder than you. Praise Jesus. They hit me harder than they hit you. Read Acts 5. This summer, I've told you to be reading Acts over and over. Reading John 14, 15, and 16 over and over. To be reading Romans 8, 1 through 15 over and over. They leave that room. I'm sure they might have been bleeding a little bit, a few bruises. And they're giving one another high fives. The way we've built that in the American church, we would need inner healing for 2 years. Right? How can this be? We have built a monument, and please hear me. I'll pray over you 3 times for inner healing. After that, I'm sending you out, okay? If you want more inner healing than that, go to Wendy Kay. She's very good at it. Or my wife. But it really is, we've built this monument of inner healing. And it just doesn't line up with the Word of God. I'm sending you out as wolves. Sheep, I'm sending you out among wolves. Now take my message to that impossible situation. Oh, and by the way, don't take an extra tunic. Don't take an extra belt. Oh, and by the way, don't even take any money. But yet, we'll make sure that we have everything or we don't go out. Is the gospel line up with mine and your life? I'm just being honest with me. No, when the guy at the coffee shop doesn't really receive me, because I'm offering you the love of Jesus, but he's rude and doesn't want to hear what I have to say, what do I do walking back to the car? Well, that guy can just burn in hell. I really don't think that, but really that's our attitude, right? Sometimes that really is our attitude. I'll say it this way. Ask Christians of other churches how much they share their faith and walk of Jesus out in the public. It'll be a sad percentage of how many really are doing it. Because we walk under this deal of inner healing, of rejection. Oh, would we ever get to the place of really of Acts where we spend an entire day excited that we've been rejected for his name? That's the way they lived it out in the book of Acts. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a sheep being sent out among wolves. Do it, because that's what Jesus told the guys. Two truths real quickly that I believe God wants us to get today to start preparing us for the season of the possible to invade the impossible. Two truths. And the first truth is this. Papa truly does love you. And he's full of great joy and pleasure for your life. Write these passages down. Luke 3:21. Spirit of God's getting ready to descend upon Jesus, and Daddy says this about him. This is my beloved son, and he brings me great joy. Now, really get that. Really get that. Because he does it on Pentecost also. And that's the day that we're celebrating. They're sitting up there. Don't you know they were rejected bunch of dudes and dudettes? They're sitting up there and they're, man, living with a bunch of regrets. And the Spirit of God comes blowing into the room that would radically change their life. Now, they've been hiding up in this room for about 10 days. The impossible city of Jerusalem looked totally impossible. Only 50 days, as Chris talked about early, 50 days from Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection till Pentecost in the upper room. The Holy Spirit blows into the room and like tongues of fire come and sit upon them. And it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and joy. They stayed up there maybe for an hour, 2 hours, I don't know. But isn't it amazing that what they heard was the church declaring the wonderful works of God? That's what it says in Acts 2:11. That every language in the city heard them declaring the wonderful works of God. How come people aren't beating in the doors of this church and churches all over this nation? I believe because we got an American gospel and not a kingdom gospel. And we declare the wonderful works of God when things are going just right for us. What laid before them when the Holy Spirit was filling them up and filling them up where they were just spewing and dripping the joy of the Lord. It says that they came down out of that upper room and people were accusing them of being drunk. I've been drunk and I've been around drunk people. And they can be very funny and it seems like they got joy, but that joy is a counterfeit joy. But their joy will forever change the world. And they come out of this upper room, and where they should have been fearful of these people, they stand up and declare kingdom message. I believe the church has gotten so consumed if you pray in tongues or not, if you have the Holy Spirit or not. I don't think that's the argument we need to be about. I think what we need to be about, do people in the world see joy and the power of God on your life? Now please, I pray in tongues, and I want to pray for you if you don't. But here's what they need to be seeing is joy on us. And they need to be seeing a message that brings forth transformation. Can you imagine, really? I can't wait to get to heaven one day. I want to put it a little bit on pause, but can you imagine talking to Peter? All the things that we didn't get to read in the book of Acts of what he preached to those people. He denied Jesus 3 times, but yet when he's full of the Holy Spirit, he can't wait to tell people about how great his love truly is, and it endures forever. And when he preaches this message, it says that people are cut to the heart. And a city that looked like impossible. Into chapter 17. Looked impossible from the upper room. 10th day, the Holy Spirit shows up. They start bringing the possibilities of God into one city. And then it says in Acts 17:6, the world was turned upside down. It's time to really settle it today that our daddy loves us. And the reason I think we doubt it is because so many of us miss our times with the Lord every day. Because when I'm spending time with my daddy, I know he loves me. And I never, ever doubt it. And the whole reason when we doubt it, I would ask you this: how much have you been before him in your quiet time? Because when you're really before him, there's no way that you wouldn't know he loves you. Second truth, and I'll close in this. He truly does lead us to confront impossible situations. And I just already got ahead of myself and explained that. You have a Jerusalem before you, just like the disciples did. Your Jerusalem may be your spouse. Your Jerusalem may be your workplace. Your Jerusalem of going and bringing a message of hope to people who are filled with hopelessness. 2,000 years ago, just 120 people got touched by this Spirit of God. And they were used to turn the world upside down. And God wants to do it again through you and I in the worlds that we live in. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you that we were truly made for the impossible to have to bow its knees to the possibilities of God. Lord, would you make that so real in our life? Would you remind us of impossibilities that have bowed their knees before the power of your truth, the power of your presence in our lives? Lord, if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's been the biggest impossibility that had to bow its knees to the power of your grace, to the power of your mercy, to the power of your love, to the power of your life. So, Lord, we thank you for all the impossibilities that have bowed their knees before you and before us to this point. Lord, impossibilities of sickness, impossibilities of loss, impossibilities of marriages being restored and reconciled, Lord. Would you remind us of all the testimonies that we already have? And would you awaken our hearts to believe once again? Lord, we love you. We give you praise. And I thank you for the impossibilities that wait out there for us right now to bring you into them and watch them change and the world be transformed. For with you, nothing is impossible. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.